Welcome to the Padded Room. I'm your host, Darian. You guys know me. I know you. Now we know each other. What's going on, my friends? Another week has come and gone, and we're still here. What happened with you this week? Anything cool? Hopefully you had a better week than I did. I had a pretty rough week. Well, it wasn't that rough. It's been a long... It actually has been a long week. I had to work 7 days straight because the kid at work that is after my days off has struck again, the evil bastard. God damn it! I mean, I get it, you know. He's entitled to extra time off, too, but every time he takes extra time off, that means I have to work a fucking weekend, and I hate that. But later on, when I have to have surgery or something like that, then he gets called in to work all my days off. So I guess it evens out in the end. Except I still hate working weekends, so fuck me anyway. Let's see, what I... Hey! I should probably go ahead and clear the air now, right? I mean, multiple mics, the fucking asshole that he is, kind of let the cat out of the bag last week about the super secret project. I might as well go ahead and spill the beans, kids. I'm making a movie. That's what's happening. It's just me this time. I'm kind of going this one alone, although not really. By going it alone, I mean Josh isn't here to help me on this. That's bad business, but the good news is that I got a bunch of other people that are here to help me that were not involved in previous projects. So, God damn it. Let's just go off on a little... Can I go off on a rant here? Do you mind? Do you have time? Well, I'm going to vent anyway, you fucking assholes, so get used to it. I don't know why I'm being so negative. Probably because I'm tired, and I worked a lot this week. You're acting like a pussy. Yeah, I know I am, but still. I'm entitled to vent, am I not? Fuck off. I've been trying to make this fucking movie. It's a short film. I don't want to get into the plot because I'd like... You know, there's some twists and turns, and I'm hoping that nobody has, you know, figured it out yet. But regardless, it has just been a fucking barrage of setbacks and shit going wrong and technical fucking difficulties and people not showing up when they were supposed to or not showing up at all. Oh, my God. So, yeah, there's that. I mean, the good news is that at this point, I'm almost used to it. I've been working on this since September, before September. The original shooting schedule I had us wrapping principal photography at the end of September, and then I was hoping for an October 31st debut. Just to let you know where we're at right now, we might be wrapping things up next weekend, depending on who shows up and who doesn't, and what kind of shit else is going to go wrong between now and then, because I'm sure there's going to be some crap that falls apart or doesn't work, or somebody's going to have to back out between now and then, and I'm going to have to scramble to fill some roles or whatever the fucking... whatever. Whatever! So there's that. That's what's going on. At this point, it's almost a comedy of errors, just because, I'm doing it now, and I'm going to finish this fucking thing if it goddamn kills me. Because, believe me, there have been more than one occasions along the road thus far where I've wanted to just throw the camera down and walk away and tell everybody to get the hell out of my house. But I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that because regardless of how bad this movie is going to suck when the day is over, I'm still going to fucking make it. And these select group of individuals that are sticking it out with me, they're with me to the end. So now I kind of owe it to them to finish this fucking thing at all costs. And goddammit, I'm going to do it. Now, before I go off on any further rants, let me impart some wisdom to you. I made a very embarrassing tactical error last week that I'd like to address and hopefully save you the difficulty of making the same error at some point in your lives. Let me explain what happened. Well, first, I need to give you a little backstory here. The movie that I'm making, prominently features three characters, one male and two females. The females play the wife and then the, I guess, one-night stand of the main character. Now, as I wrote the script for this thing, I had two, technically three individuals in mind to play these three characters. I'm not going to lie to you. When I initially wrote this, I wrote the main character for myself because I thought Josh was going to come down and direct this for me. We had some creative differences, and I had to make some very difficult decisions. End of the day, I decided I was going to have to do this alone. So that's what I'm doing. Now, if I'm going to direct, though, I don't want to act because then, you know, one or both of those is going to suffer if I'm not giving my full attention to it. So I decided to direct. Thus, I brought somebody else in to play that role. Now, the two young ladies I had selected to play these two, you know, the wife and the girlfriend, I wrote the part specifically for them. The wife was going to be played by Jenny. You may remember her from the first film. I had to make out with her. She's actually my wife's best friend. I gave her the script. Everything was good to go. She agreed to it. She assured me that her husband was okay with it, and we were ready to rock and roll. The other woman is a client of mine from work. She's actually a bikini model. Now, needless to say, both Jenny and the bikini model have since backed out completely. Oh, and not in any kind of a timely fashion. It was like with less than a couple of days to shoot very significant scenes and had me hopping from one foot to the next trying to find somebody that would fill these roles. I got very fortunate, however, with the two young ladies that I found. Well, I found one of them, and then that one found the other. It's a long story. It involves prostitutes. Dude, if you are looking for cheap porn and you're like on a desert island or something, all you have to do is post an ad on Craigslist for actress needed. All manner of different prostitutes will send you pictures of whatever you want to see, to include chicks with dicks in their mouths, gaping assholes, and just other various states of undress. And the subject line is always going to be the same. It's just a dollar sign with a question mark. Regardless, I have two women to fill these roles. Now, one of them is a smoking hot redhead. The other one is a smoking hot brunette. The redhead is the wife. The brunette is the girlfriend. Now, last weekend, right after we recorded the show here with multiple mics, we went right into shooting the big finale scene, which involves the redhead, the brunette, the main character, and kind of a mob scene type of thing. Now, the redhead is pretty much scantily clad throughout the entire film. I mean, for a good chunk of it, at least, anyway. And because most of the scenes were being shot at night, I had to kind of rotate her in and out just to keep her from freezing to death. It got down to like 30 degrees here in Reno last weekend. So we're between shoots, you know, and I've got her inside and I'm trying to warm her up. And this is where the embarrassing tactical error was made on my part. At some point, she says to me, "Hey, let me see your phone. I want to show you a funny clip on YouTube." Now, not thinking anything of it, I simply unlocked my phone and handed it to her. She, instead of hitting the YouTube app, hit the web browser, and what do you suppose the first fucking thing that popped up was? You got it! MILF porn! Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Now, I've been outed before with the porn and the beating off. My wife catches me like three times a week. She doesn't know it, but I actually set it up so that she does. Kind of working on a little fantasy thing I've got going on. But still, the redhead I met like a month ago, she's a very cool young lady, but still, she just busted me with porn. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I think the porn that popped up did involve a redhead. Oh, God. Her exact words were, "Oh, what is this?" as if to say that she's gravely disappointed in me somehow, like she had such high hopes of me not abusing myself in my free time. Oh, God. The only thing, here's my response. Yeah. What else do you say? What else can you say in that situation? Yeah. That's all that could come out. But what you really want to do is you want to grab your cell phone away from her, throw it as hard as you can in one direction, and then run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Not really an option, since since this whole thing is unfolding in front of 8 or 9 people there in my kitchen. Fuck me, man. God. She knows you beat off now. Yeah, I could have told her that to start with, if in case there was any confusion on the matter. All right, enough about me and my horse shit. The good news, though, is that I think the movie should be done, hopefully, by the end of this month. I mean, not done, but at least we're done shooting. And once we're done shooting, then I can start editing. And once I start editing, hopefully I can start putting little teasers and clips out there for you guys to check out and hopefully enjoy. Or you can make fun of me for it. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. In the meantime, let's quit fucking around here tonight. We got a little horror news and shit to get into. Let's do that. I should mention also that this is a late night version of the Padded Room. I just got off of work. It's 1 in the morning. So if I sound tired or pissed off, it's because I am. Oh, it's been a long fucking week, dude. All right, here we go. Horror news.
Horror news.
Got a few things going on this week. What do we have here? Darren Lynn Bousman. Remember this guy? Not mad at him. He did the Mother's Day remake, which wasn't bad, I guess. He also did Saws 3 and 4, which were not my favorites, but they still weren't bad. He also did Repo: The Genetic Opera. Have you seen that one? That is probably the best musical ever made, in my opinion. And I hate fucking musicals, but that one kicks some ass. Darren Lynn Bousman began filming Abattoir. I'm taking a stab at the pronunciation on that. I don't know what it actually means. Dig this, though. I think you're going to be into it. It's a movie about a house. All the rooms in the house have been taken from crime scenes and kind of absorbed into this house. So every room in this house was the scene of a violent crime, is what I'm getting at. But just from different places and times and things like that. Sounds badass, right? Looks badass. No previews or anything up yet, but from what I read of the synopsis, it sounds exciting. I'll check it out. I know it's going to be a haunted house type of a deal, and I'm a sucker for that stuff. So yeah, I'll check that shit out. Why not? What else we got here? Gun Media, video game company, unveils Summer Camp, which is going to be a teen slasher simulator. It's pseudo-directed by Tom Savini and features a soundtrack by Henry Manfredini. A lot of Italians working on this thing. Tom Savini, we all know and love that guy, of course. Henry Manfredini did the original soundtracks to the Friday the 13th films. All that, you know, all that shit. So that should be cool. It looks cool. I'm not sure which systems it's going to be out on, though. And it's kind of making me nervous because I'm still rocking the 360, the Xbox 360. I think I'm going to have to update my situation here pretty soon. I don't know if I'm going to get the PS4 or the Xbox One. What do you guys got? You got the game systems out there? What do you think? PS4? Dale raves about the PS4, but he's kind of an asshole, so I don't always trust him when it comes to anything. I don't know. Probably do the PS4. I heard that's got more games than the Xbox One. But I already have the 360, so I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. I'm not going to bore you with my video game identity crisis. What else we have here? Zombievers to debut on video on demand March 20th, 2015. Have you been following the Zombievers? We've talked about it before on this show. From what I understand, it's about some kids that get attacked by zombie beavers in some kind of a woodsy situation. Now, I know it sounds like horse shit, and there's a good chance that it is, but I read that it's going to be starring Bill Burr. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Burr or not, but he is a fucking comedy powerhouse. I listen to his podcast all the time. Short, angry, redheaded guy from Boston. You know, he's got the real thick Boston accent. But funny guy. So I'll probably check it out just because he's in it. Very funny stand-up comedian, Bill Burr. What else we got here? Oh, speaking of Darren Lynn Bousman, trailers are up for the Devil's Carnival sequel, Hallelujah. Did you see the Devil's Carnival? It's not bad. It's a musical also. It's about some kind of a psycho circus type of a thing. It's only about an hour long, and I think it's available on Netflix. The sequel is going to be starring the Hoff, David Hasselhoff. I knew he could sing, but I thought he could only sing in German. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. I wasn't mad at the Devil's Carnival, so yeah, I'll check it out. Devil's Carnival, Hallelujah. Lastly, Adam Wingard is set to direct a pilot for Robert Kirkman's Outcast. Now, I'm excited for this because I like Adam Wingard. He does good work. If you don't know who I'm talking about, he directed A Horrible Way to Die, which is a great show. He's had segments in VHS 1 and 2, I think. And then You're Next, which is a bad motherfucker right there. So I'm excited for that. Also, Robert Kirkman, one of the writers for The Walking Dead, the original graphic novels. Now, this is the part that's very exciting. It's going to be for Cinemax. So you're going to have all your TNA and Double Scoops of Gore and all that shit. It's on pay cable. It's got to be good, right? I'm going to check that out. I'm excited for it. Outcast. I know it has something to do with like demonic possession or like an exorcist type of a guy. I don't know. I never read the graphic novels, but I'm into it. I'm going to check it out. I'll probably set the old DVR to pick up that one too. That's all I got on the horror news, you animals. Let's get into some listener mail or something, shall we? Okay.
Listener mail.
Yep. Emails, voicemails, the usual extravaganza. See who's up first here. Kevin. My main man in Tokyo, Japan. Let's see here. No subject line. Uh-oh. That means Kevin's serious. Hey, Darian. Long time no podcast. Hope you had a great Halloween. Good to hear multiple mics is hanging in there and hitting the books. You know, there's something else. I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because there's something that I wanted to mention last week that I forgot to, and I don't know why I forgot to do it. Last weekend was Halloween weekend, which makes that last weekend, our last show, our three-year anniversary here in the padded room. Can you believe that shit? It's been three fucking years I've been doing this show. Oh, my God. I remember episode one. Some of you guys were with me for episode one. What a fuck story that was. Here's a little peek behind the curtain for you. Halfway through episode one, I accidentally kicked the USB cable out of the fucking computer. Caused my whole shit to freeze. It was like an hour into the show. We had to restart everything and re-record everything. We were up to like 4 in the fucking morning. It was a pain in the ass. Anyway, it's been a fun 3 years. Yeah, you know, good times, I guess. Did I mention that I'm tired right now and I'm kind of cranky because I had a long work? All right, never mind. I shouldn't make excuses for my horrible behavior. Let's see here. Good to hear hitting the books. On with the votes. Oh, shit. We're getting right into the old Terradome here. Let me grab. Okay. The Leprechaun versus Michael Myers. As they say on the Mickey D's commercial, do you believe in magic? I hope you do. You'll always have a mythical creature wearing big green shoes. It's the magic of the gold or something like that. Vote goes to Leprechaun. Okay, now, normally, Kevin, I would hold that against you, but I know that the Leprechaun is your horse in this year's tournament, your fighter. So I'm going to grant you some leeway there, but keeping an eye on you there, Kevin. Descent Cave Dwellers versus the Nightbreed. The Descent Cave Dwellers have superior pitch black fighting skills since they're blind anyway. Vote goes to the Cave Dwellers. All right. I could see that one going either way, really. Kevin, a.k.a. Lonely Bob. Hey, thanks for calling in or writing in there, Kevin. See who's up next here. We got a voicemail. We'll get to that in a second. We got Crackhouse Matt coming in. Subject line, who the hell steals mail? Sounds like somebody got their mail stolen. That's great. What's up, TPR? Glad to hear you had some success at the Spartan race. I guess any time it doesn't end with a hospital trip can be considered a success, huh? What, no video this year of the spear throw? No. No, there will not be any more video of me throwing anything. If you guys want to make fun of me for it, then just forget it. Video yourselves, you bastards. Missed last week, but was glad to see Jigsaw get the nod in the Terror Dome. That's where my vote would have gone. I definitely needed to get my picks in this week. I may be alone on this, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and take the Leprechaun over Michael Myers. Matt, what the fuck are you doing, man? Are you serious? You're taking the Oh, god damn it. The Leprechaun is small and can go after your ankles and shit. You think Michael Myers gives a fuck about somebody biting his ankles? He's evil incarnate. All right. Ankles and shit plus, Myers never really seems to have the greatest dexterity or flexibility on the planet. He doesn't move like a ninja and actually comes across as pretty stiff. I think he might have some trouble reaching down as low as he would need to in order to get the Leprechaun. Plus, I don't think Myers is smart enough to figure out that if you just give him his gold back, he'll go away. Put me down for the Leprechaun, pogo stick jumping on Myers' lifeless body. Matt, you just lost some serious cred in my book, my friend. Fucking Leprechaun. In the team's competition, I will have to take the Nightbreed over the Cave Dwellers. The breed are the only ones that can really match up with the Cave Dwellers in a cave-slash-underground type of setting as they are used to it. I think they would just overwhelm the Cave Dwellers. Alrighty, two for the breed. Other than that, I had a fucked up situation the other night. I seriously hope he didn't hand his phone to a hot chick. Somebody stole my goddamn mail out of my mailbox. I live on a street that has 6 houses. My neighbor across the street texts me while I'm on my way home that they saw a black SUV speeding down my road and turning around at the end, and then stopped suddenly at my mailbox. They couldn't tell what they were doing, but when they took off, my mailbox was open. When I got home, no fucking mail. I also knew what was stolen because I had looked in my box that morning and there was a package in there, a hat I had ordered, and I figured I'd just grab it out when I got home. So here I am, no hat, and some dickless piece of shit steals my fucking mail. What the fuck is wrong with people? I mean, seriously, who does that shit? Luckily, my neighbor did see the vehicle and got at least some of the license plate numbers so I can keep an eye out for it. I've decided to set a little bit of a trap. Excuse me. A little bit of a trap and get one of my cam set up around the mailbox and then stick a package in my mailbox filled with dog shit and see if it gets taken. Then I'll have them on camera as well as the knowledge that they just stole a box of dog shit. That would make me smile. That's all I got this week. Crackhouse Matt out. Matt, you gotta watch out for the mail thieves, dude. I think that's how the identity thieves get you. They get your mail and then they get like a credit card statement and then they fuck you all up. Ironically, at one point in my life, I was actually hoping for identity theft. Go ahead, you bastard. You try being Darian for a couple weeks. It fucking sucks. Take your best shot, dickhead. Anyway, sorry to hear about your mail there, Matt. Hopefully you get to the bottom of that shit. See who's up next here. Sean G. The man to talk to about horror comic books. You already know the name. You know the website. I'm not going to hit you over the head with it again. AngryGnomeComics.com. That's where you want to be. Subject line, Terror Dome and a comic update. So, I love the public domain month. I think a weekly segment may get a bit rough on you, since the majority of the films you'd come across wouldn't be that good. But bringing it back every now and then would be a lot of fun. Sean, you make a very good point, my friend. Some of you may remember, a couple years ago, I tried to run a second show on this RSS feed called Shock Treatment. And what that was it was going to be just me and one co-host from my usual cast of meatbags. And we were going to do two movies a week, and we were going to find the worst of the worst movies we could find. That little experiment lasted about 9 episodes, and I couldn't fucking take it anymore, man. Let me give you a little laundry list of some of the movies I had to watch. Succubus? Ugh. Killer Weekend with Eric Roberts? Vampgeddon? Dude, after a while, it just becomes soul-crushing. I didn't even want to turn my TV on anymore. You know what I mean? I knew I was going to have, what was it? Fucking Bikini Girls on Ice? I wanted to gouge my own eyeballs out. I couldn't hang, dude. I couldn't do it. Two of those a week on top of the regular padded room schedule? Forget it. Forget about it. Not doing it. But I appreciate the sentiment, Sean. I'm glad you're with me on that. Jumping back a few weeks to the subject of getting flu shots. I only started getting flu shots once my daughter was born. Basically, what it came down to was that she was always bringing home crazy bugs from daycare. I didn't want to risk getting sick, too. We all still got the flu last winter, but it seems to help. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sean, but getting the flu shot is supposed to give you the flu. Isn't that how that works? You get the shot, it makes you real sick, and then I guess you're ready for, like, it's like a training thing for your immune system. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. In the Pterodone, I'm glad to see Jigsaw made it through. He made a compelling argument, and I was having a tough time deciding. Then I just forgot to vote. In this week's matchups, I have to go Nightbreed over the Cave Dwellers. Alrighty. The fact that the Nightbreed have both killer mentality and a level of intelligence gives them the advantage. I'm going to have to go with Myers and Singles. Finally! Somebody with some goddamn intelligence. He'll have trouble getting a hold of the Leprechaun. The Leprechaun will have no chance of getting a wish out of Myers. Now for a little begging. Excuse me. The soft cover collection of my superhero comic, Fracture, are currently being solicited through Action Lab Entertainment. And any help getting the numbers up would be awesome. It's not your usual superhero fare, as it revolves around a guy with split personalities that are trying to kill each other. So it's good family fun. You can go to any comics store this month and ask them to order you the Fracture Volume 1 and 2 trades. Or if you want them delivered right to your door and at a great discount, Volume 1 at 45% off and Volume 2 at 30% off, go to dcbservice.com and watch for Fracture. Besides doing this now will help you get familiar with the process for when the Puppet Master comic solicits in January. The art of the Puppet Master has been rolling in and looks fantastic. Can't wait until I can share some of it. Sean. You got it, Sean. I'm going to tweet that link out as soon as I get done recording the show here. Dude, I'm telling you right now, you're going to want to get on You may remember, Sean, I went down to my local comic shop right after you announced Fracture and almost had to throat punch the guy because he wouldn't listen to me. So, I haven't been back there since, but I'll go check it out. If not, I will throat punch the kid again, and then I'll come back home and I'll just go to dcbservice.com and I'll order it my fucking self. No throat punches needed. See how that works? It's good times. Thanks for writing in, Sean. Let's see who's up next here. We got a crap ton of fucking voicemails. Irma Gersh. No subject line. Pterodome picks. Leprechaun over Oofty Goofty. Dude! Let me tell you something. If the Leprechaun wins the fucking Pterodome this year, I'm done. I'll walk away. Cave Dwellers over Nightbreed. At least that one makes sense. That one's tied up, kids. What do you think of that? And that was it for the emails. Let's swing it on over to the voicemail line. See who needs some mental help on the mental help hotline. This is a local number. I wonder who this is. I don't know who this is, but we're going to find out.
Oh, thanks, Nurse Nicole.
Oh, it's multiple mics.
It was good to hear your voice.
Was he Nurse Nicole, or?
Yeah. Hey, Warden.
Huh?
Hey, fellow inmates, multiple mics here.
Yeah.
So.
What the hell?
I was sitting in class today, stewing.
He doesn't normally talk like this.
Over.
Just so you know.
Prop 3 got shut down yet again.
What is Prop 3?
And, Prop 3 basically.
What is it?
In the past, it was going to take.
Huh?
A little bit of money out of the big businesses and put it in the school system.
Okay.
But no. What, he wants that, right?
Yeah, I don't want it.
And I get it.
No, you don't.
I'm political, right? Well, shut up.
What are you even doing?
I figure since I voted, I just renewed my license to bitch.
This is
what I deal with,
ladies and gentlemen.
Political season, it gets a little too heated.
Regular basis.
I mean, Dr. Dale can't even walk to work without getting blasted in the face with these billboards telling him who to vote for.
Are you sure it's billboards he's getting blasted in the face with?
When our kind Dr. Dale can't even take a leisurely stroll and get to work in a good mood.
He doesn't take any leisurely
something's
strolls.
Something's got to change.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I digress. There I was sitting in class today.
What?
Wondering what the hell I'm going to do
with
getting a better mood. And then I remembered, hey.
What?
I got these two platinum Cinemark tickets that I bought God knows when, 500 years ago. Thinking that I have somebody to go to by now. But no. I didn't. And then I remembered I had two of them, so.
We're going to have to break this down like game film after we're done.
Untold, Ruler, and we're going to go see Annabelle. Well, hit up my old friend Warden there. Yeah, that's you, buddy.
Me?
Suggested I go see Dracula Untold.
I would. I want to see that. I haven't gotten a chance, though.
And I was not disappointed.
Alrighty.
One bit.
Well,
so, yeah.
Good for you.
You're going to want to go see that movie.
Looks good.
I so want to spoil the hell out of it for all of you.
Don't do it.
But I won't.
Alright.
And, yeah, so tomorrow, hey, maybe I'll go see Annabelle.
Well,
I got a second ticket ready.
Go see Annabelle, then.
Yeah. Anyway, have a good day, and hope all y'all are having a good day.
Why are you talking like that?
Goodbye.
You fucking weirdo. You see that, people? That is like an actual conversation that would happen between me and multiple mics. Him spewing off about Proposition whatever, and me just trying to hold on and figure out what the fuck he's talking about. God. Well, thanks for calling the voicemail there, multiple mics, you jackass. Oh. Who's up next here? I think this is probably Alan. I could be wrong.
Padded room, what's up?
It is Alan.
Gotta be quick.
Let's go.
Generally do a show. Anyway.
Hit it.
Pterodome picks.
What you got?
Leprechaun.
Fucking
leprechaun
what?
Over Michael Myers. Because Leprechaun is magic and Michael Myers don't know how to kill him.
The fuck y'all.
James, I'm going with the Nightbreed. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Are you serious? So, okay, I'm beginning to suspect foul play here. I don't know who's putting you people up to this, but this is nonsense and this has to stop. Fucking Leprechaun. Get out of here. Up next, I believe GP called twice. I'm assuming that means he probably got GP'd.
It's GP.
It is GP.
All right, Pterodome. Leprechaun versus Michael Myers. Now, this one really, really hurts me.
Oh, come on. Not you,
Michael
too?
Michael Myers is my boy. But
you, too?
I've always wondered how Michael got started on this path. I mean, you know he's controlled by... Well, not controlled, but influenced by Samhain, by the druids.
Evil incarnate.
So, what the fuck? Hold on, I gotta try this back. I think I got GP'd or something. I don't know.
No, you didn't.
If I did or not.
No, you didn't. All right. Now, technically, that doesn't count as a GP because you GP'd yourself. So, if you're angry in the next one, that's not my fault or whatever. All right, here we go.
Yeah, Megan, I don't know what happened. I heard a noise over my phone, which usually means I get GP'd, so I don't know if I did or not, but I just said screw it.
All right.
Start all over again. Anyway,
let's do it.
As I was saying, how he's influenced by Samhain, by the druids.
Right.
That, and then the leprechaun, you know, the Celtic Irish origin, the how do I not know that the leprechaun was behind Michael Myers getting, you know, get him started on this path?
We're talking about the little guy that got beat up by Ice-T.
I think that the leprechaun was controlling Michael Myers this whole time.
You're way overthinking this, dude.
I think the leprechaun has this power over him. So that's this weakness right there. I think, I know, it really, really hurts me, but I think the leprechaun wins over Michael Myers.
Oh, my God.
That sucks, but, you know, that's how I see it. Leprechaun, or excuse me, Nightbreed versus Cave Dwellers. Of course you go to Nightbreed. I mean, all I got to do is send the berserkers down there. And
it's berserker time, baby.
That's that. Immersion Therapy, The Taking of Deborah Logan.
What'd you think of that? Pretty good.
I liked it.
Me
I
too.
I did like it.
Good
and I'm
stuff.
I'm going to give that old girl props. All the props in the world for having the guts to do that shit naked.
You right?
I mean, it wasn't a pretty sight, but
no,
she had balls.
It was not.
All the balls to do it, so I'll give her that. Also, for being creepy as fuck as
right?
Being possessed. I mean, she did a good job. However,
old ladies.
What the fuck is with the flashlights? Again, in the house with electricity, with light switches all over the fucking place.
Wow.
I can see you needing a flashlight to go in the attic. I gotta do that too.
Right.
But they were in other parts of the house. They're looking in closets. Turn the fucking light switch. And even in the hospital, they have lights all over the freaking hospital. They have lights for the mouse holes or whatever the fuck. So,
mouse
I mean,
holes?
What the hell, going around with flashlights where you can, flick the switch, there you do, boom. It's just so freaking unnecessary. I try to scare you, and all the while you're getting pissed off at it.
Valid point.
Anyway, that's it. I will talk to you all later. Bye.
Very cool. Thanks for calling in, GP. Are all of you people smoking crack right now? You're really going to take the leprechaun over Michael Myers? Oh, my God. I am rapidly losing faith in humanity. Oh, my God. All right. I don't know who this is.
What's up, Darian? Padded room.
Hey, it's Jesse.
Calling in for my picks for the week. I think I'm very lax when it comes to this, but
that's all right,
want to do try and...
Yeah, whatever.
I'm stroking out. I can't even talk. I want to try and start calling in more regularly.
Hey, no worries, buddy.
So, I don't really have anything else, so let's just get right into Terradome.
What do you got?
Singles, I have to take...
Please don't. Please don't take the Leprechaun. Jesse, what are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Boy. Leprechaun
Fuck!
Over Michael Myers.
You're an educated young man, Jesse.
Now,
I expect more from you.
To me, he is a supernatural being.
You're talking about...
Depending on which version of Michael you have.
He's evil incarnate. Do you not understand that? I think you got GP'd. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's okay. He called back. With another,
fuck!
Yeah.
Even when I use Skype because I'm too lazy to go get my actual phone, I get fucking GP.
Well, see, that's what happens.
All right,
when
I'm
going
to start this message over.
You have weird logic
Darian,
in the Terradome.
You won't play the first one. So, this is Jesse, of course, from Horrorcopia, Bump of the Night, Too Many Fucking Things.
RPN.
Calling in with Terradome Picks.
Very
I
cool.
need to start getting more up to date with this. Every week I want to call in, but I'm lazy and
I
procrastinate.
You know.
So
you don't have to. I mean, you're welcome.
Here we go.
All right.
I don't have anything else to add, so we'll just get right into it. Singles Division.
Leprechaun.
I'm going to get some shit for this.
You big jerk.
I'm guaranteed I'm going to get some shit for this. But I have to take Leprechaun over Michael Myers for one
my God.
Simple reason.
Seriously.
The Leprechaun
this is seriously
is a
happening?
Supernatural being.
Not
he has supernatural powers. I might be stretching it a bit to say that if you look at Leprechaun lore, he has a lot more going for him than was shown in the TV air.
Okay, if you're going to go back.
In the movie series.
All right.
I just think he would find a way to defeat and outsmart Mr. Brute Michael Myers.
Are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right?
Teams Division, I have to go
Did
with
you
the
see
Nightbreed.
Leprechaun in the
I
hood?
I just think they have the edge. They're a monstrous race.
They are.
And I think they would make mincemeat out of the cave dweller slash cannibal.
Agree.
I really forget which team it is, but they're all the same.
Cave dwellers.
At least those cave dweller cannibal things are all the same. So I'm going to go with the Nightbreed and Leprechaun.
God.
Love the show as always. And
how dare you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, my God. All right. Fine. Fine. That's what you want to do. Go right ahead. That was it for the voicemails. Let me check the tweeters real quick. I don't think we had anything, but I'll check it again just to be sure. Tweety, tweet, tweet. Nothing on the tweeters. That's it. That was it for your listener mail. How about we get ourselves into the final week of Public Domain Month, even though it's been a little bit longer than a month. And go ahead and strap in for a movie there. Let's do it.
Jules de Lancret, Marshal of France, Baron de Ray of Trifauge, Machicou and Chantoussay, later dedicated to alchemy in search of the Philosopher's Stone, of power and of gold.
Into this study, I'll pour all of my wealth, because soon I'll have the Ars Magnus. I'll be as a god and reign in France. I'll conquer the world.
From alchemy to the satanic black arts was just a step. Then began the human sacrifices. Besides human sacrifices, Jules de Lancret, cruel and bloodthirsty, raided and tyrannized his lands, kidnapping beautiful maidens.
Byrie, little beast. It will do no good to resist. We'll see about your insolence tomorrow on the sacrificial altar.
Torturing his victims.
Mark this. I want him to get well, to recuperate his strength. Then I want him impaled in public, suffering in agony.
But Jules de Lancret was also the best swordsman in France.
I have never seen a sword as quick as yours. Never.
Yes. I think I'm the best. Although I have a doubt. Gaston de Malebranche.
Gaston de Malebranche, a worthy rival for the Marshal. For Gaston was serving justice and truth.
I am not on the side of the tyrants. I will give my last drop of blood against those who abuse their power and are oppressing the weak. You broke your word of honor. But you will pay, Marshal of Hell. You'll pay for this!
The Devil's Possessed. A film in which terror and vibrant action are parallel. The Devil's Possessed. In which a romantic love contrasts with the most crude love of passions. The Devil's Possessed, with the most valiant struggle for liberty and justice, fighting against the Devil's Possessed.
You, Marshal of Hell, son of the devil, tremble for justice. Divine justice will fall upon you. Your punishment will be eternal.
The Devil's Possessed. With the following cast: Paul Naschy, Guillermo Bredeston, Norma Sebre, Vidal Molina, Graciela Nielsen. The Devil's Possessed. Next on this screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, The Devil's Possessed. I'm assuming that there's something lost in translation there with that title. The Devil's, as in the devil is possessed with an apostrophe S. I don't understand how that makes sense to anybody, but whatever. Directed by Leon Klimovsky, written by Paul Naschy. You remember Paul Naschy? Starring Paul Naschy, Norma Sebre, and Guillermo Bredeston. What you have here, kids, is basically just a very retarded version of Robin Hood, for the most part. I mean, I'll run you through it anyway, but they're going to notice some staunch similarities. Basically, your movie starts, we're taking place in medieval France here to start with. So, and this movie's made in 1974. So you got yourself a lot of leotards, a lot of unsightly bulges about the crotch there, and some funny shaped, very colorful tunic type operations. Good times, kids, I got to tell you. All right, so your movie picks up in medieval France, and it starts with this baron, Gil de whatever, played by Paul Naschy, returning back to his keep from presumably the king's court, the king of France. He makes his arrival there in his keep. Paul Naschy apparently is some kind of a baron or French nobility. I'm not going to fuck around trying to pronounce the French titles because I'm just going to make myself sound like a homo. So this guy comes back. He's got his whole procession there. He's obviously royalty or nobility at the very least. He explains to his banging hot blonde wife that his request for a loan from the king was denied. And she, you know, he's kind of distraught, but she's trying to comfort him. We find out that he needed the loan to further his research into alchemy. Basically, what he's wanting to do, if you're not familiar with alchemy, is to take everyday objects and turn them into solid gold. Sounds pretty good. It's going to make him very rich if it works out. The bad news is that he didn't get the loan for the furthered research. The good news, though, is that while he was gone, his banging hot blonde wife found a legitimate alchemist who knows how to do the shit and can coach him up on how to do it also. Now, she takes him and they meet the alchemist who's there in the keep. He's like your typical wizardy looking kind of a dude. You know, he's got like the hood and the big beard and all that shit. And old Naschy goes in there and they introduce each other and that's all good. He explains that he holds the secrets of alchemy and he can turn pretty much anything into gold, but it takes some very rare ingredients for him to do so. He gives him like a laundry list of shit that he's got to get. The last thing that he needs, though, is the blood of a sacrificed virgin. Who didn't see that one coming? Now, that's all right. I mean, you know, old Naschy there, he's pretty hungry for the alchemy. So he, you know, agrees to it. Sends his I don't know, I guess they're like his personal police force or whatever. Sends them out to roam the French countryside looking for virgins. They come across one, they ride circles around her, because I guess that's what you do, I don't know. Her father comes out and tries to defend her, so they stab him with their swords, and they basically abduct the virgin and take her back to the castle. Now, here's the part that I don't get, kids. Naschy's a pretty horny dude, and he's got these virgins there overnight. Now, it's not directly mentioned, but it is alluded to, that he's banging them the night before they get sacrificed. Well, if he's banging them, then they're not virgins anymore, which means that's kind of not really what you need there, Naschy. So, you should probably look into that if you're going to continue to sacrifice people. That's a motherfucker. That goes on a couple of times. Now, at this point, the surrounding village is really getting sick and tired of Nashy's crap because he's taxing the crap out of them, trying to get funds for his alchemy experiments, and he's now jacking the teenage virgins and sacrificing them. That sucks. So, within this village is formed a little resistance movement. Kinda like the Merry Men, Robin Hood's Merry Men type of a situation. They've got like their little hideout and stuff. And they're not really doing anything outwardly opposing the Baron just yet, but they are skimping on the taxes. And they're kind of, you know, spreading, you know, trying to recruit and get more people into the resist. Basically, at some point, they want to overthrow the Baron because he's being a real fucking asshole with these abductions and all these taxes. Makes sense to me. As that's going on, this new guy rolls into town. Gaston de whatever. Now, this guy's a bad motherfucker. He just got out of the joint. I mean, not really prison, but he was like in some kind of a fucking prisoner of war situation. And he's pretty swift with the sword there, kids. He's got the big poofy sleeves and the swashbuckling thing. He's still wearing a leotard because apparently you had to get into this movie. But other than that, he's a pretty badass, this guy. He comes rolling into town. He immediately gets accosted by this resistance movement. You know, there's a little sword play there, some fucking, you know, with the foils and the ching, ching, ching. He manages to knock a couple of them on their ass. Doesn't kill him, though, because he's a nice guy. And he meets the acting leader of the resistance, a guy by the name of Paul de Whatever. That's pretty good times. And he explains to Gaston that, you know, we're not really robbers. We weren't trying to rob you. We just got, you know, we got to get some money because this Baron over here is a fucking jerk off. And then Gaston's like, wait a minute now. This Baron's an old friend of mine. I know him personally. There's no way he's abducting people and taxing you people that much. And then the guy's like, well, yeah, actually he is. He's got some kind of a witchcraft thing going on. So Gaston doesn't really believe him. That sucks, but it's still the truth. So Gaston makes his way into town, hooks up with an old innkeeper friend of his who has a banging hot daughter. Goes in there, they're all so happy to see him. He sits down and he gets some wine and bread, and then in walks a bunch of the Baron's men. Now you can tell they're the Baron's men because on their tunics they have like a sigil that is like a slithering snake kind of a thing. That's kind of neat looking. They come in, and being the Baron's men, they're fucking assholes too. So they like start, you know, demanding free shit and then kind of like groping the innkeeper's daughter. So Gaston gets all pissed off and he's like, that's a lady, beg her pardon. And then a big swashbuckling sword fight takes place. A lot of jumping up on tables and kicking people in the face. One point we even swing from a chandelier. Errol Flynn style, baby. That's how we're doing it. That's pretty good times. Gaston puts a pretty good ass-whipping on these clowns, kills a couple of them, sends the rest of them back to the old Baron there with news that Gaston's back in town. Now, from the Baron's point of view, that should be all right, because Gaston and him are old friends. So, eventually, Gaston makes his way to the Baron's keep, and, you know, they, you know, rejoice and have fun and all that. One of the big problems with this Baron guy, though, is that the banging hot wife of his is the one that's telling him to do all this black magic shit. So apparently, at some point, the Baron actually was a decent dude. He's like a decorated war hero. But then he got mixed up in all this alchemy crap, and now he's doing a bunch of shit. He's doing dirt, people. That's what's happening. He's running this village into the fucking ground. So that sucks. Gaston gets up there, he tries to talk some sense into him. He's like, hey, what's all this black magic crap? Knock that shit off. But then the Baron's already sold on the idea. Now, while that conversation is taking place, the banging hot blonde wife notices it. Now, we have a problem because she sees old Gaston as a threat, as he actually is. What happens is the wife arranges for an assassin to sneak into Gaston's room there at the keep that night. The assassin goes in there to jack him. Gaston wakes up in time and beats up the assassin, and then does some more swashbuckling right out the fucking window. All right, well, that's pretty good. At least he got out of there, right? Now we have an even bigger problem, because now there's like a manhunt on for Gaston. Well, that puts a whole nother paint job on things. But that's still in line with the Robin Hood thing that we're kind of doing here. Gaston makes his way back to the old innkeeper's house. The innkeeper then fills him in on he's kind of been funneling money and food into this resistance movement, and he knows how to get Gaston in contact with the leader of the resistance. So that's pretty fucking cool. But what happens while all that's going on, the Baron up at the keep is like, ah, shit, we had to kill Gaston, but he got away. Gaston's a bad motherfucker. He's going to come back here. He's going to want to kill somebody and probably unseat me from my fucking nobility or my throne or whatever. So what happens from there is the hot blonde wife kind of gets in league with the old alchemist guy. Now, what she tells him to do, or what they tell the Baron to do, is they need to go into the ruins of an old abbey. They need to execute a strapping young man and cut off his head. And if they do it at the right time of the month, or the right moon phase, or whatever the hell, the fucking head will start to talk, and it will give him instructions on how to find Gaston and kill him. So, old Nashy, being all fucking punch drunk like he is, does just that. He has his boys go out and round up a strapping young man. They drag his ass back to this abandoned abbey, and they cut the fucking kid's head off. Now, from there, the banging hot blonde wife does like some necromancy, or at least that's what you're led to believe, puts the head up on this weird altar, and then you're supposed to believe that the head is talking. It's clearly not. And as the camera pans around it, you find out that it really isn't talking. What's happening is they've affixed some kind of a sound tube to it, and the old alchemist guy's on the other side of the wall talking for the severed head. So at this point in the film, we fully understand that despite the fact that she's hot, Nashy's wife is full of shit. Not only is she full of shit, oh, Jesus. A little sip of my Gatorade there. I get fired up when I talk about Paul Nashy's hot banging wives. Something very near and dear to my heart here, inmates. Not only is this bitch full of shit, but she's playing old Nashy like a fucking violin. Now, I don't know what her endgame here is, but she's really dragging this fucking village through the furnace. She's got this guy chopping off heads, sacrificing virgins. He's up to like 5 or 6 of them now. And all this in the hopes of some alchemical ritual taking place, which clearly there is not going to happen. The old guy isn't doing shit. And Nashy just keeps bringing him virgins, banging them the night before. But I guess that might explain why the experiments aren't working. I don't know. I don't fucking know. So what they do is the old man kind of pipes the sound into the severed head and basically tells Nashy where to look for Gaston and his hideout and his crew of guerrilla fighters. Now, what happens is they tell Nashy that the best place to start looking is there in the inn with the innkeeper. That sucks because, you know, the innkeeper's he's like an old guy, and he's a pretty nice guy. He's a friend of Gaston's. So, the Baron sends his boys to go round up the innkeeper, which they do. They bring him back and they start torturing him. Now, there's something very cool here. In the torture chamber, the guy that's running the torture chamber is actually the Crimson Executioner. Remember this guy? He's a bad motherfucker. It's not the real Crimson Executioner, but it is a guy in a Crimson Executioner hood. So I saw that and I got excited for a moment, and then I realized it's just a guy in a hood. God damn it. Anyway, it's still kind of neat. Yeah, he gets down there, they're torturing the old innkeeper, and he's not given the 411 on the rebel hideout, but they are, they got him on the rack and they're like whipping him and stuff, and he's just about to give the information when he actually just dies there on the rack. Shit. That guy's dead. Word gets back to Gaston that they have captured him. Now, they don't know that the innkeeper's dead yet, but Gaston leads this daring raid into the keep to try to rescue the innkeeper. So him and like 5 or 6 other guys go scaling walls with grappling hooks, and they get down there and they start karate kicking people and poking out eyeballs and tweaking earlobes and stuff. They kill some of the guards and stuff, but then they get down there and the Crimson Executioner's like, "Hey, sorry, guys, he died on the rack." He didn't say anything, though, so that there's that. But then they kill the Crimson Executioner. And pretty much all the guys that Gaston went in with got killed, but Gaston makes it out. So that's cool. He's back at the rebel hideout there. And then we have Nashy, another back and forth between Nashy and his wife. Now, I think at this point, the alchemy is just not happening. The fucking old guy keeps hitting Nashy up for more, like, rare ingredients and fucking fig of Newton and whatever. Whatever that crap is that all the fucking wizards and witches needed back then. Give me a tongue of bat or whatever. whatever you need there. I don't know. You silly bastards. All right, so it's just not working, you know? And he keeps doing these experiments and nothing's fucking happening. And Nashi's starting to get pissed because he thinks he's got a lot of gold coming. So, at this point, the manipulating cunt wife of his says, look, this fucking alchemy thing may or may not be happening the way we thought, but I have a better idea. Instead of waiting for this old fucker to put it together, why don't we just go to Gaston's family's house and jack them? Now, apparently, we didn't know this at this point, but Gaston himself is also a noble, and he comes from a noble house that's not that far away. Meaning his family is wealthy and they've got, you know, the funds to do stuff. So, the plan is now, instead of fucking around with, you know, this alchemy guy, they're just going to go jack Gaston's house. So, Nashi and, you know, a big rank and file of his guys go over there. They get into Gaston's house and swipe his uncle and his niece. Now, that's kind of fucked up. They also take everything they want and all that shit. They bring them back to the dungeon, and they're basically send a messenger down to the rebel base, and they're like, hey, we got your uncle and your niece. You better get out here and, you know, pay for your crimes, or we're going to fuck them up, meaning they're going to kill them. Gaston's like, ah, Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's ready to go back to the Baron and pay for the crimes that he's committed, with whatever they are. All right, fair enough. They arrange a drop point where they're going to exchange the uncle and the niece for Gaston. They get there, you know, they have the big tenuous standoff where Gaston walks and the uncle and the niece walk the opposite direction. And, you know, they do that. The Baron's guys seize Gaston and start walking him back to the keep. As soon as they get out of earshot and eye shot, they go back and they swipe the uncle and the niece again. So now they have all three of them. Fucking lying assholes. They're down there in the dungeon, and they're torturing Gaston, and they're going to make him confess and all this shit. And he has to give up the other rebels because they want to kill them, too. Gaston's like, oh, just fucking suck a dick, you bastards. But then they bring the uncle and the niece back in, and they start torturing them in front of Gaston. Now, Gaston has no intention of giving up the rebels, but he doesn't really want to see his, you know, his uncle and his niece killed either. About that time, we cut back to the rebel base. And in the rebel base, everybody's all fired up now because they've got Gaston. They went back on their word and swiped the uncle and the niece too. So now everybody there is pretty fucking pissed. Not only that, but the entire village has gotten word of this whole scenario. So other dudes are filing into the rebel base, getting ready to, you know, guys that weren't previously rebels are now ready to go in there and kick some ass. That's the good news. So, you know, the torture of the uncle and the niece, and old Nashi's down there, and he's reading Gaston the Riot Act about what he's going to do to him, and he's going to cut off his fucking pinky finger and all kinds of nonsense. Did anybody actually take Paul Nashi seriously at any point? I look at that guy and I say, this guy has got to be 4 feet tall, and he's got this weird face mange beard thing happening. Was that attractive at some point? I don't know. I don't get it myself, but whatever. I have a very hard time taking him seriously as a villain. Except when he does that eyebrow thing, that's pretty gnarly. He like tweaks his eyebrows or something. I don't know. Anyway, Gaston's down there, and they manage to kill the uncle, or presumably, Game of Thrones style. What they do is they take an iron crown, throw it in the fire, leave it there until it's blazing red hot, and then they pull it out of the fire and slap it on the uncle, right on his head. That sucks. I imagine that hurts very bad. And you don't really see the uncle again, so you have to assume that that killed him. About that time, the rest of the town has had enough of this shit, and they're storming the fucking castle. The rebels manage to break through first. They get down there and free Gaston and his niece immediately. They're like, hey, we got to get you out of here. Gaston's like, ha, I don't think so. I'm going to go up there and kick that Baron's ass. I've had enough of this fucking guy. So they get up there, they have themselves a big sword fight, you know, more with the swashbuckling and the going up and down stairs and all that shit. It's kind of funny watching the way that, you know,
gnashy sword fights. It's a lot of weird, like, it almost looks like he's on crack or something, you know? Just the way he's haphazardly swinging and jumping and I don't know, man. It's maybe there was like a problem with the film or something and it got sped up. I don't know, but it looks very funny to me anyway. Make a long story short, Nashy kind of snaps out of it. He realizes that his wife and the old guy have been playing him. Shanks them just as Gaston is zeroing in on his location. In the big sword fight between him and Gaston, Gaston, of course, kills him. He does get wounded because, like, Nashy's guys are shooting arrows at him while they're sword fighting. He takes an arrow in the arm, so he's a little wounded, but in the end, he's okay. And saves his niece, and that's pretty much your fucking movie. I got a kill count of 17 on this. That includes the big battle scene there at the end and all of the virgin sacrifices. I got to tell you, man, it's not a good show. Is if you're really into the Paul Nashy, I give Paul Nashy a lot of shit, but there are better Paul Nashy films than this one. This one almost feels like plagiarism to me. It's pretty astutely Robin Hood, just with some weird black magic implications. I mean, that's really all there is to it. So there's that. I mean, if you're some kind of a Robin Hood nut, then by all means, check this one out. You might be into it. What do we have here? This is the worst episode of Game of Thrones ever. Yes, it is. Swashbuckling nonsense. Worst possible soundtrack. Yeah. Hey, Paul, your beard is weird. Your gruff is rough. Do you suppose he did that on purpose? Do you think he shaved his beard into that weird shape that it was in? Or did it just grow that way because he had, like, face mange or something? I don't know. It works for him, but not my thing. Whatever. Welcome to the Tri-State Renaissance Fair, circa 1974. Yeah. Did she tell the girl to be condescending? Yeah, this is a part where, you know, they capture these virgins, and then the white, they, like, bathe them and get them all ready to be sacrificed. And then Nashy's hot wife comes in, and she's like, hey, be condescending to the Baron. Now, my vocabulary isn't quite what it used to be, but I think condescending is a pejorative, isn't it? Like, if somebody's being a dick to you, you say, hey, quit being condescending, you fucker. I don't know. That's just, maybe weird stuff. I don't know what's happening there. That's pretty much all I got on The Devil's Possessed. I don't know why they called this movie that, but whatever. If you're, like I said, man, it's Public Domain Month, and, That was tough. You know, that's like an hour and 44 minutes. Oh, it's just a fucking Robin Hood knockoff. That's all you got. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying you really got to be in the mood for a Paul Nashy extravaganza to really get into that one. Wasn't my thing. Probably never going to watch that one again. You might dig it. Check it out if you feel like it. I am now going to take a break. You feel free to do the same.
Somewhere beyond happiness.
And I'm back. Alrighty. What else we got here? It's time for us to find the old Padded Room Podcast Twitter follow of the week. It's too bad Paul Nashie's dead. Is he dead? I think he is. He should be. He's an old guy back then. I'm going to check it out real quick, though. If he's on Twitter, I would love to follow me some Paul Nashie. Paul Nashie died November 30th, 2009. Wow, he hung in there. He was 75 years old. That's too bad. All right, well, if he's out, how about, what do we got in the Terror Dome? Leprechaun? Yeah, let's go. Let's see if Warwick Davis is on Twitter. I'm pretty sure he is. Let's see here. Search Twitter, Warwick Davis. I'm not seeing anything on the Warwick Davis. All right. Let's just find then. Well, if not him. Oh, let's see. We got the Nightbreed up. How about Clive Barker? Let's do Clive. I know he's on Twitter. At Clive Barker, at Real Clive Barker. I'm already following him. God damn it. All right, then. Michael Myers, Tyler Mane. I'm sure he's on there, right? Tyler Mane. At Mane Man. I don't know if this is... This is real Tyler Mane. Tyler Connor. Let me check your photos here, buddy. I think this is a chick. Dude. Why is this... What the fuck? Come on. Twitter follow. What do you got? Who else? Who else was that? Rob Zombie. I don't think I'm following Rob Zombie yet. Rob Zombie. Not Rib Zombie, you fucking asshole. I know. This is absolutely exciting. Jesus Christ, am I that fucking tired that I can't even type? Rob Zombie. At Rob Zombie. Aha! I'm not following you. At Rob Zombie, you are the Padded Room Podcast Twitter follow of the week. Let's take a look at your tweets here real quick. Pretty serious back piece. Devil's Rejects. He loves retweeting photos of tattoos that people got that involve his movies. And pictures of his wife. And pictures of the Crypt Keeper. And what is that, a blow-up doll? Wow. Him with Larry King. Very nice. Him with the guy from Korn. Oh, look at you. There's some tits. Alrighty. Alright, good times there, Professor Zombie. Alright, let's get into the Terror Dome then, shall we? God damn it. Maybe we just skip it this week. We could, you know, just pretend it never happened. First, last week's winners. In singles competition, we had Michael Myers versus the Leprechaun. Oh, you know what, man? I'm not mad at it. I didn't see this going this way. I almost took Michael Myers as my fighter this year. I'm glad I chose not to. If I did, I'd probably be power bombing somebody onto this desk right now, but whatever. In singles competition, we had Michael Myers versus the Leprechaun. The story continues. A terrible tug of war was taking place. Michael wanted Laurie dead. The Leprechaun needed Laurie alive to forfeit his gold. Once he got the gold, she was of no use to him, but if she died before he had its location, he would be stuck in this realm forever. The big one with the butcher knife kept coming, but the Leprechaun couldn't let him have her. With a cute limerick and a twisted gig, the mass killer was transformed into a solid gold statue and left out in the night air. With a vote of 12-4, the leprechaun advances over Michael of Myers. Oh, boy. Didn't see that one coming. Just never fucking mind then. In teams competition, we had the Nightbreed versus the Cave Dwellers. The story continues. The already beleaguered tribes of the moon had been further attrited upon entering the cave system. With nowhere else to go and nowhere to hide, they had no choice but to head to the cave's deepest and darkest veins, rooting out the previous occupants and cooking them slowly on funeral pyres. With a vote of 11-5, the Nightbreed advance over the Cave Dwellers. That one I could see. Truth be told, I'm not mad at the leprechaun. I'm shocked that you guys chose to vote that way. I am going to be mad if he wins the fucking tournament. But if it happens, it happens. That's part of the beauty of the Terra Dome, I suppose. I'm not asking you guys to agree with me all the time, but goddammit, it would help if you did it every now and then. Son of a bitch. All right, this week's matchups. Started off in singles competition. We're in the Asylum Conference, round 19. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not a writer. The mob had finally breached the gate. Angry men with torches and pitchforks and hatred in their hearts. As they stormed Victor's castle searching for the laboratory, they laid waste to everything in their path. Overturned tables, smashed priceless paintings, and looted anything they could find. For as angry as they were at the death of the little girl, their petty greed wouldn't let them pass such a mercenary opportunity. Finding Victor in his lab, the mob descends on him with the devil's abandon, beating and stomping him until his white lab coat was red with the bleeding wounds they had inflicted. Then the door flew open. Out came the monster, 7 feet and 400 pounds of pain and hatred. Unholy vengeance made manifest. At the sight of what had become of Victor, the thing let out a mournful howl and began to lash out at anyone in arm's reach. The bulk of the mob fled at the sight of it. Those that were too slow met with a savage end. Collapsed rib cages, separated limbs, one young man attempting to fit a noose around the neck of the broken form of Victor hadn't noticed the monster. His cranium was stomped flat to the cobblestones. Outside the castle, Larry Talbot waited in the moonlight. He was all too happy to blame the monster for the full moon killings. The abomination it quieted the cries of the werewolf from the local village, but now, under the glaze of the full moon, a terrible change was coming over him. In singles competition, we have the Wolfman versus Frankenstein. I see this going one of two ways. Either A, the Wolfman is going to shred Frankenstein until there's nothing left of him, or Frankenstein is basically just going to stomp the Wolfman flat. Now, if you've seen a very ridiculous movie called Monster Brawl, we kind of got a little taste of this matchup, but it was like a very WWF-style match, and it didn't... it's a very stupid movie, if you ask me. I think I am going to have to go with Frankenstein on this one. And it's not because I have anything against the Wolfman. It's because Frankenstein is still dead. And the old rule, I think, still applies that which is already dead cannot die. So, that's one for the Frankenstein on that one. Frankenstein, Jesse's fighter in this year's tournament. Let's swing it on over to the teams competition, shall we? We are, again, in the Asylum Conference, round 26. Excuse me, 19, actually. This one's a little silly. He'd only been 20 years old when his parents handed him the keys to the nightclub. He knew what it really was, a way for them to keep him away and keep his debaucherous appetites in check. Since he'd hit puberty, he was plagued with terrible visions of rage, death, and horrible carnage. He thought he was all alone until the pack found him. They took him in, explained to him what he was, and why the dead bodies were stacking up all around him. Most important, they taught him how to control the beast. Now, J.P. Monroe and his pack of werewolves were some of the most successful nightclub owners in Chicago. His club, the Boiler Room, was always busy and the adjoining restaurant always booked. But that was before he found the statue. Or the statue found him. Old, archaic, and beautiful, it was a single pillar with a bizarre box-like geometric pattern and a shrewd face protruding from one side. It was just that, a statue. Until the face began to speak. And J.P. began to listen. The face made promises of power and lust, two things J.P. could never pass up. In exchange, it needed blood to find its way out of the statue and back into this world. In teams competition, we have the werewolf pack versus the Cenobites. I am taking the Cenobites. Not because I think they can win, but because the Cenobites are my fighters in the teams competition, and I'd like to hold on to my stuff this year. So there's that. I'm taking the Cenobites over the Wolfpack. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the week. In singles, we had Frankenstein versus the Wolfman. In teams, we had Cenobites versus the Wolfpack. As usual, inmates, get me your votes by next week if you can. The mental health hotline is 206-309-9117, or you can get me on the regular email line. It's thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com, or you can tweet me your picks if you want, but you got to follow me first at paddedroompod is the way to go there. That was your Terror Dome. Let's get into some, what are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
I got a few things lined up here. Embrace of the Vampire from 2013. I'm not sure, but I think this one is supposed to be a remake of the Alyssa Milano one from 1995, where you got to see her boobies for the first time. I could be wrong about that. Other than that, it's a pretty silly movie. Chick goes to college. She's very awkward. She's got some cunty friends, or I guess like her roommate has some cunty friends. Yeah, all these hot, it's really stupid. All these hot chicks are on the fencing team. Are you fucking kidding me? They're on the fencing team? Come on, man. Hot chicks don't fence. They go to nightclubs and smoke cigarettes and occasionally suck a dick. But they do not fence, my friend. I can tell you that right now. Either way, she's on the fucking fencing team. She finds out throughout the show that she's actually a vampire. Nothing that original. There is some pretty hot girl-on-girl action, though. I'll give it that. Up next, Antisocial Behavior from 2014. This one's pretty silly. It's, you got your artistic type guy that's having these weird delusions. He keeps throwing up, like, these giant softball clumps of bones. Find out that some weird shit's going on. Take it or leave it, really. I mean, it's nothing we haven't seen before. Next one. This one's kind of neat. It's called Uneasy Lies the Mind. Now, it's a horror film. This is the first film to be shot entirely on iPhones. The entire movie was shot using nothing but iPhones. It's pretty neat, actually. And, I mean, I approached a few people about it, and I was like, hey, check this out. And I got some very snobbish replies about, it's kind of gimmicky and all shit like that. It's actually a good fucking show. I mean, yeah, it's shot on iPhones, but you wouldn't know to look at it. And the story is compelling, and the characters are compelling. So if you have a fucking problem with iPhones, I don't know, fuck off, whatever. Up next, VHS Viral. This one is, I don't know, man. I wanted to like the VHS Viral. I love the first two VHSs. I guess the biggest problem I have with this one is that a lot of the vignettes involved didn't really feel like found footage to me. Like the first one is about this magician guy and he's got a cloak that kind of eats people, but it's more mockumentary style, which is fine. It's still kind of in line with the VHS franchise. But then there's like a big battle at the end and there's like music in the background and stuff like that. You're too far off base with that. You can't have that shit. That's not even in the same neighborhood as VHS, right? You can't be doing that. The other ones are okay. If I had to pick a favorite, it's probably the last one. The skater kids go to Tijuana and get mixed up in some Day of the Dead stuff. That one I thought was pretty cool because it's mostly GoPro and helmet cam stuff. That was probably the only one that I felt was still in line with the VHS franchise per se. Lastly, Hellbenders from 2012. This is a very silly fucking movie. Basically, what you have is a group of priests that they're like exorcists, but in order to do that, they call themselves the Hellbound Saints. What they do is they just sin all day, every day, thus damning themselves. And then when an exorcism comes up, the idea is that they invite the demon into them and then they kill themselves and then they both go to hell. I'm not sure how that makes sense. I'm not a religious guy, but I think it's supposed to be a horror comedy. It's not that funny, really. It does have Macon Blair in it, though. Love that guy. We saw him in Blue Ruin. So, I mean, check it out, I guess, if you want. I don't care. Not my thing. That's all I'm looking at this week. How about some immersion therapy, yeah?
Immersion therapy.
So last week we watched The Taking of Deborah Logan. That's actually not a bad show, huh? Found footage, demonic possession type of thing, kind of disguised as a documentary on Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a motherfucker, man, and I could definitely see a parallel there. In the months leading up to my father's death, he had serious bouts of dementia. And I got to tell you, man, that shit it will fuck up your whole family. Me and my mom had a very hard time dealing with that and just kind of trying to keep him somewhat under control. It is a motherfucker, that I can tell you. And I can definitely see a parallel to demonic, you know, goings-ons. Other than that, a pretty good show, I thought. Atmospheric. GP did make a good point about the old light switch thing. Yeah, it happens. I mean, I don't get it either. You know, you're in a house, electricity is on, just turn the fucking lights on. Which brings me to another point. All these the creepy movies, you know, turn a fucking TV on, turn a stereo on. Instantly cuts the creepy in half. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Come Out and Play from 2012, starring Vanessa Shaw and, I can't even read what I wrote here. Somebody Moss Bacharach, Elaine Moss Bacharach, directed by Makhanov. Check that out if you can, inmates. Get with me next week. I will do the same and we'll compare notes, huh? That's how the immersion therapy thing works. How about some Company of Wolves action? How's your abs this week? Mine are a little sore, I can tell you that right now. Hey, that's the wrong intro. Good job. Oh!
The Company of Wolves.
Yeah, buddy. Last week we were issued a challenge. I know multiple mics did it. I know I did it. I think we're about it, though. The challenge for last week was 700 sit-ups in 7 days. Now, an educated man would space them out, 100 a day over a week. Not this guy. I decided to do 600 on Thursday and 100 on Saturday. Look, it worked for me, all right? Remember last week I was talking about how I had a bruised rib? It was kind of giving me some shit. I tried to do some earlier in the week, but it just wasn't happening. So I had to catch up with them. Now, we've been issued another werewolf challenge for this week, and that is 700 push-ups. You think you got it? You think you can handle 700 push-ups in a week? I'm going to try. I think I can pull it off. I'm pretty good with the push-ups. Other than that, kids, I think that's about going to be a week. Sorry if I'm a little out of it tonight. It's looking at the clock on the wall. It's 2:30 in the morning on Sunday night, Monday morning, and I am fucking tired, and I am going to bed. So, for the Padded Room Podcast, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.